Mr. Haig, reel 14.
The other thing, this business about that if you were ashore, the shore police could humiliate you by you giving the story of that the thief had to get your money out your pocket, you had your hand in your pocket, and you were told to.
Yeah, sure. Well, we've been walking down arm in arm down Commercial Road and cast off tow, cutting out. We had a walk somber, sorry. But I mean, see, that's used to make him well, just as you're going into a blooming theatre or cinema, like, diver in your pocket to get the money, you're bring you up the pay rate, and they put your hand in your pocket, where do you fancy you are? Well, I mean, see, where do you fancy you are?
And this, obviously, the girls, the local people, saw this.
Yeah.
Were they friendly? I mean, but did they run clubs for sailors, or did they invite you to their homes at all?
You had, not them, no, you had the Trafalgar, the Duchess of Albany, drivers, Aggie Westerns, and the Sailor's Own Club.
That was really your haunts?
Yes. Yeah.
The local people didn't really want to know you?
No, only the publicans. You had plenty of them, I mean, say.
Money.
There was tons of pubs. And as I say, the cinemas and that.
But I mean, didn't men build up friends locally and various places?
Well, some did, but no, I mean, say, the majority didn't want to know you.
The other thing then you said about Portsmouth and Aggie Westerns, you didn't like Aggie Westerns. Why was that?
Well, I mean, say, when I was in the Impreg, they landed so many of us, like, you go to Aggie Westerns for a tea party. Well, you had a cup of tea and a bun. Well, in those days, it would cost about tuppence. But we was deducted to sixpence. Eh? I mean, say, that's stuck in your gills. Paying sixpence for a cup of tea and you didn't want it. I mean, say, one of Aggie Western's buns, I mean, say, you didn't want it at any price.
And what about...
But it was handy for sleeping, you know. That's one thing about Aggies. It was only a tanner for a night's bed. And you was in little cubicles. But even then, I mean, say, you used to run round and have a blooming periscope and look over the top, see if you was on your own.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Aggie Westerns was really an extension of the Navy, in a way. It was just the Navy, but it wasn't...
Well, I mean, say, she used to employ naval pensioners, eh? And, of course, next door to nothing. Oh, you get your pension, you don't want... cheap labour.
Aggie, you seem to be given the impression Aggie was rather a kind of unsatisfactory place, in that it was paternalist and it took advantage of sailors.
It did. But of course, you've got to realise that they were rank teetotalers, I mean, say, and used to all their services. But as I say, you used to go there and. It was all right for a sleep or a bath. Get a good bath in there.
But you walk past it and go somewhere else to spend the evening.
Oh, yes, you wouldn't spend the evening there, let me say, no fear.
Do you think she did some harm, in fact?
No. She was all right for what she intended, but I mean, say, I think it was organised wrong from the other end. Yeah, I mean, say... I don't think she anticipated people were going to get stopped at Tanner for tea just for going there. I think, honestly, she meant it for tea for nothing. But not them. Whether they give her the money or not, I don't know.
Some people have said that Aggies, though, because of the way it was run and because it actually added to make the sailor's reputation more bad, if you like, instead of good, because of what she was set up to do and... You didn't think that at
No, I think, in a way, she was all right, but, I mean, say, of course, in other ways, that way, I mean, say, you know, it wasn't like the Sailor's Home, and now the Sailor's Home, you had your beer bar and all that lot, and if you went to Duchess of Albany, you could still get a ton of beer there and all that lot, but... No, not that atmosphere of Aggie Western, and the Duchy of Albany, Trafalgar was the same, and drivers, of course. Now, drivers was a different proposition altogether. He had a big restaurant next door to, do you know Pompey? Well, where the Colosseum is, or was, next door to that was Driver's Cafe. But he had a big lot for sleeping round in Unicorn Road. And his family, well, someone of his family, married a Navy, into a signal branch. And we had a commander who rose from the ranks in the signal school, Slinger Woods. Now, it was some relative of his, because someone had to go every dinner time and used to fetch his dinner in tin boxes like that into the signal school, and he used to eat them.
What was the atmosphere you didn't like in Eggies?
Well, the fact that you was never certain that you wasn't under surveillance. Yeah, I mean, say, it didn't matter what you was doing, always someone seemed to be nosing, what's he up to? As if he was going to pinch something. If there were, I don't know if there was anything in there to pinch, but...
It was a sort of...
That atmosphere, you know. You know, you get that atmosphere, you go in there and say, oh, something wrong. Yeah, there was always that atmosphere, you know, someone's watching you the whole time.
You never left the ship, really, in some ways, just like being on board.
Yeah, I mean, see, you had that impression. No.
You have to be in your best behaviour in there as well. You have to be different from what you would be elsewhere.
No, I don't suppose so, but of course you used to, as I say, all we used to use that for was to sleep.
Yeah.
And very handy when you... caught a midnight mail from here, so you got in there somewhere about half past one or two in the Pompey. Well, you couldn't get a bed in there because you slept down on the floor. That was all right.
It's quite useful for that, though, in that way. But there's a place to go. You kept it.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. It's all right, I suppose, if you were teetotal and calithumpian, you know, like to make a bet with old women and all that lot. But not for a full-blooded bloke.
Yeah, yeah. And the ones who did take it were these, the teetotalers, and who were perhaps slightly estranged by the Navy.
Well, no, they weren't, but the thing was this, that you didn't want to get that poked down your throat. I mean, say, if a bloke didn't want to drink, he didn't want to drink. That was it and all about it. But I mean, say, why poke it down your other people's throat? That was the outlook. And he went down to Sailor's Home, I mean, say, and all you see get Crown and Anchor there, but they used to pay the outposts like to report if they saw a patrol coming down. Of course, the patrol used to come down and raid them regular.
Last week we talked about the time that the wage you could get back at the Master at Arms, and that marvellous story you told me about dropping the holy stone. Yeah. Tell me that one.
Well, that was out in Malta. And
he was an awkward sort of man.
Yeah, he was a Marine. He wasn't a Master at Arms, he was a Marine, Sergeant Marine. And he was a bitter boy. He was at Corradina. And he was coming around, and he wasn't going to any of the ships, but he happened to pass too close. Blip, look, he said, oh, he said, well, I'm blooming you, so. He grabbed this holy stone out of the washtag like it was quite handy, like before you knew what was up, smack down in the dice, it went straight through. Also, this bloke come aboard, of course. No one knew anything about it. No one knew anything at all. And he didn't know me, he didn't know anyone else, and of course, the bloke he did know wasn't there.
That was one case. The other case about the chap with the bayonet who went out.
Oh, that was in the Grand Fleet.
Yes, tell me about that, actually.
Yes. He was a bitter... He was a jaunty, he was. But he was a bitter one. I don't know whether it was a Canada or one of them big battleships in there he was on. And apparently he'd been riding them rough. And someone got fed up. Went along one night and where one of them used to sleep, up bayonet. It was the wrong bloke.
But men would try to get back at the Jontes and the ships sometimes.
Yes. I mean, say, times like cold ships, I mean, say, if a Jonte was, all that lot was a bit vicious, you didn't see them sculling around anywhere where they're liable. Because he's quite, if he was down the old bloke, accidentally not put the blooming coal bag in the strop, and when it gets up so far, it drops down plonk. And I say, you get underway to coal on your nut, it don't do your head any good. So they used to keep well out of the way.
And the other thing I was just curious to follow up a little bit briefly was the rum issue, the tradition of the rum issue in the Navy, which we
followed. Well, yes. See, 11 o'clock they pipe up spirits. Well, then the duty PO with the officer and the pusser, you know, ship supply branch people, used to go down the storeroom and draw off the requisite amount of rum, neat rum. Well, that would be fetched up, and they'd take the POs and chiefs out of that, and the rest, I mean, say they put down and mix up with grog, three or water, like the one of rum, so that you've got your half pint. And 12 o'clock, they sound off bubbly, and you just go along with the old fanny and get your whack quota. Even if you was under stoppage, you'd hear them say, 28 mess, 8 points, one stopped. Well, you knew it was 16 to come out there, weren't they? And the mess ladles you had, you just tip that up and just halfway line give you the exact amount for your, what, that was your measure, mess label. Just half, well, that was your top. And that was that, and the poor bloke on watch, if they left it in the blooming fanny, you used to always get that tinny taste and flat. Half past 12 used to be lousy.
It had to be taken right away.
Well, yeah, somebody saying, well, it was mixed with water, you had to drink it. You had to be right on the spot, because if it was left that just that half hour, I mean, say you got the, if it was in a mess kettle, it was all that was in a basin.
But men didn't usually keep the tot that way.
Not in water,
because it wouldn't last.
No.
But yeah, if you had to take it, and if you didn't take it, you get so much a day.
Well, this would just show you, see, before the First World War, we used to go out signals call in the summertime, about once a month or something like that, round all the forts and that, round Pompey Harbour. And you'd go from Portsmouth signal station, you'd over to Blockhouse, right round Monkton, Galloper, right round Fareham, Portsdown Hill, back Fort Cumberland, Ailing Island, and along South Sea Front, South Sea Castle, Clarence Pier, and that was it. Well, we used to go to these heliograph parties. Well, when you come back, you used to come back somewhere about 5 at night, or according to where you were.